Tired of ads interrupting your gripping investigations? Good news. Ad-free listening is available on Amazon Music for all the music plus top podcasts included with your Prime membership. Ads shouldn't be the scariest thing about true crime. Start listening by downloading the Amazon Music app for free or go to amazon.com/truecrimeadfree. That's amazon.com/truecrimeadfree to catch up on the latest episodes without the ads.
Mother's Day is around the corner. Find the perfect gift for the mom in your life with a stunning piece of jewelry from Blue Nile. From timeless pearls to dazzling gemstones, Blue Nile has something she'll adore. Need it fast? Most items can ship overnight. Plus, enjoy guaranteed free shipping and returns. Don't miss our special Mother's Day deals. Save big on the season's most beautiful trends. For a limited time, get up to 50% off by going to BlueNile.com. That's BlueNile.com.
Hello and welcome to Loose Units, Loose Ends. Earlier this week, dear listeners, Dad and I talked about a whole bunch of spooky stuff. Basically, we put a cap on this long-running ghost story that was being played out at North Sydney Police Station. And thank you so much for all the freaky correspondence from all of you about ghost stories that you've encountered in your lives and, you know, in your time at work. Dad, you just told me something very odd. I capped off last episode by talking about a haunted doll on eBay. And you said to me that you encountered a lot of haunted stuff during your time as an antiques dealer. Now, people have really enjoyed your antique stories, but how can they possibly be scarier than the stories we talked about earlier this week?
Well, Paul, when you're dealing with something that has been in a family for a long time,
yeah,
often treasured, I'm sure that some objects, in my opinion, quite often paintings, tend to just get this, because paintings are a window into the past. You know, when you go to an art gallery,
yeah,
and you look at a painting, for example, painted in, say, the 1400s,
uh-huh,
they didn't have cameras back then. We all know that. However, if, for example, you look at a painting from, let's say, a Dutch painting from the 1500s, and it's a still life, and you know what a still life is, don't you?
Yeah, but why would you haunt a painting of a couple of pieces of fruit? Wouldn't it make more sense just
Paul,
to hear... Just...
you are so sweet.
No, seriously, wouldn't it make more sense to haunt a picture of yourself?
Well, Paul, just let me just run this, because you know that my brain's a little bit odd. But what I wanted to say to you,
yeah,
is that if you look at the fruit in the picture from, say, the 1500s, can you... You ready for this?
Yeah.
The fruit is basically rotten. It doesn't look like fruit today. And I know what you're thinking now. You're thinking, what the fuck, Dad, does this have to do with anything? And quite frankly, I don't know. But Paul,
great.
No, yeah, but it's fascinating on many levels.
What do you mean the fruit's... No, I'm sorry. What do you mean? I've never seen a still life with rotten fruit.
Paul, you're not looking.
You're not listening.
Paul, listen. Trust me.
Okay, okay.
My point being, and I'm sorry to keep saying my point being...
No, because before you just, like, not 1 minute ago, you said, what is my point? I don't know.
No, but I have a point now. And the point is that they were... That fruit back then was not as it is today.
Well, it wasn't as aesthetically pleasing,
correct,
certainly.
That's my point.
If you, wait, that's your point? This is an... I asked you about fucking ghosts, and you're like,
but,
you know,
we're
actually...
Coming. We're getting
my
to
overall
that.
Point is that the produce situation back then was very different, and enclosing fruit.
No, but it's kind of interesting that when you look at pictures, I mean, they'd never ever look. I saw a painting recently of a woman, and she had a massive skin cancer on her cheek from the 1500s. It's a famous Spanish painting. What is my point?
Fuck's sake!
That they didn't sort of make everything kind of beautiful. It was the equivalent. Artists back then basically airbrushed all the bad features, but occasionally...
Okay, Abe Simpson. Dad, listen, you've gone full Abe
okay,
Simpson.
Sorry, but what it's
fascinating. Okay, seriously, here's what I'm trying to figure out, right? First of all, before we get into haunted objects and something that I think we are going to talk about a bit on this week's Loose Ends, is if you were going to... Let's say you popped your cork, right? You're dead. You're dead, and you can haunt any object in your house. Which object would you haunt and why?
Okay, it's an excellent question, but can we expand on that a little bit, and can they be an object in each of our kids' houses?
Wait, no, you can't haunt something in my house. I can haunt something in my house.
Okay.
What would you haunt?
I wouldn't, for example, haunt a rug.
Okay.
And you know I love rugs.
Yep.
In fact, you've got one of my beautiful rugs that's not mine anymore. I gave it to you.
You wouldn't want to get trod on.
Correct.
Is what you're saying.
That's right. Yep. And I kind of wouldn't like to be a box, like an old trunk.
Okay.
Because when you closed it, that'd be a bit depressing.
Although sometimes you are quite full of it.
Yeah.
Stuff, I mean.
So I would pick something beautiful.
Yeah.
That would never be touched. So, well, in our house here, we own a magnificent rhinoceros. And I'd probably haunt that because I think it'd be pretty cool at times if it moved by itself. Okay.
So you would haunt a 2-foot-long resin rhinoceros.
Mm, yep.
Okay. I was hoping, I was kind of hoping you'd want to haunt a copy of the book I wrote about you because then, you know, you could flap it and fly around a bit.
Yeah, that'd be cool. Yep.
Papery bat. Okay.
Yeah. What would you haunt, Paul?
I'm looking around the study, the office in which I record this stuff. Tegan did an oil painting of me for the Archibalds.
Mm.
And in a completely bullshit move, it didn't get through. It's a really good painting. She's got some skills. And I would probably haunt the painting of myself because let's face it, if I could make that kind of oil version of myself, you know, come to life and leave the painting, God, that'd be freaky as shit. Mm. Anyway, let's talk about haunted objects.
Okay,
so,
cool.
Yes, you're an antique dealer. You've been an antique dealer for decades now. And
yes, 40 years I've been an antique dealer.
As established earlier this week, you don't not believe in this stuff.
No, I've had a lot of very, very, in fact, I'd go so far as to say, exceptionally unusual things have happened to me in the world of antiques. So we had an antique shop in Manly, and I was in my mid-20s, and I was so hyper-enthusiastic and keen, which I still am to this very day, but we set up this really beautiful shop within an antique centre. We were one of the first dealers in there. And the shop was so beautiful. Now, I have mentioned to you before, Paul, that on the grand opening, this was I dare say it was almost a bit of a society evening where people dressed up in period costume from the 1920s. It was like a Gatsby evening. It was so exciting. And it took place in Manly in this brand new antique centre, which had about maybe 40 dealers, antique dealers. And some of the dealers were from the, I guess, the big end of town. There was a little bit of resentment. In fact, I'd say there was a lot of resentment toward Christine and myself. People looked at us and thought, who are these young people? You know, they were in their 20s.
Were you not in costume?
Hang on.
You said it was a Gatsby party, right?
Correct.
Gatsby takes place in the 20s. You and Mum were in your 20s, therefore you don't need to dress up because you are thematically on point anyway.
Well, age-wise, but I certainly didn't dress up with a boater and spats.
Why not?
Because I don't know. I'm not into dressing up. You know that. And Christine made an effort. She wore something quite beautiful, appropriate, with some beautiful jewellery, and she looked the part. I looked pretty stock standard, I guess.
Hang on, so Mum dressed up in costume and you did not?
Correct.
Fuck, you're a party pooper.
Yes, I am.
Just get into it.
Nah, I don't. It just makes me...
you're such a stodgy old... Sometimes you are the life of the party and sometimes you just go, nah. But I reckon that we could get you into it. I mean, here's the thing, Dad. If we did some sort of high concept photo shoot for Loose Units and they said, you need to get into a police uniform, would you do that?
Yeah, that'd be weird. Because I'm very critical about police uniforms when I watch TV shows, particularly Australian ones, because they're just not on point. And Paul, if Loose Units or Electric Blue, if they make it to screen, I really hope that they go hard with all the uniform stuff, because I'm really particular about that.
Yeah.
I think it's got to be right.
But if we got you into a period appropriate police costume, would you be okay with that?
I'll tell you what I'd really like to do.
Yeah.
I'd love to dress up as a 19th century police officer. I think that'd be really cool.
Oh, like searching for the Ripper?
Like a Bobby.
Yeah, like a... Yeah. blowing a whistle and running through a foggy cobbled alleyway to find the body of a prostitute, or, you know.
Yeah.
Okay.
I could dig that. But on this particular night,
yes,
Christine and I, we made sort of an exemplary effort with our particular little shop, and it looked superb. And I know that I'm quite sure I've mentioned this to you and the listeners before, but at the end of the evening, we went back into our magnificent shop, which there were literally 1,000 people at this do. It was a huge do. And we had the most beautiful Victorian silver teapot on a stand with a little gas burner underneath, like you'd light a wick and that would keep the tea warm throughout the evening in Victorian times. This was the centerpiece of the shop. It was sitting in the middle of a magnificent 19th century circular cedar table. Mm-hmm. And it was so beautiful. And toward the end of the evening, I went back into our beautiful shop and I stood there and someone had stolen the teapot and stand. They'd taken it. And I was absolutely devastated. And I didn't let that sort of, you know, ruin me. There were no sort of, you know, closed circuit television. Someone had just taken advantage of this incredibly sort of frantic, crowded night and just decided to take this magnificent, quite large item. So that was a bummer. And then we, a couple of weeks later, some people rappelled, and we all know that rappelling requires rope. These organised criminals cut a hole in the roof of this massive antique centre.
How high was the roof?
Oh, mate, it was probably 30 feet,
mm-hmm.
2.5-3 stories. Just this huge, huge Victorian warehouse that had been converted into all these really nice shops. But there was no sort of ceiling above each shop. The ceiling was the top of the building. And these people on a weekend had cut a hole in the roof and rappelled using ropes down into the actual antique centre.
Mm-hmm.
And they made a beeline for our shop. And they smashed a glass cabinet that was locked, and they stole a lot of, for us, very valuable items, silver items. And I'll never forget, there was this antique dealer that I would describe as a complete fuckwit.
Okay.
Like a real arsehole. He was from a very high-end... he'd been a top antique dealer in London. He was a snob and an arsehole. And you know what he actually implied? He implied that Christine and I had organised the break-in. Can you believe it?
I don't know. Well, that doesn't really make much sense to me.
No, because he felt that it was an insurance job.
Right.
But none of our stuff was insured.
So hang on. Sorry to just skip ahead, but thematically, where's the spooky stuff here?
Oh, I haven't come to that yet.
Oh, okay, cool.
But anyway, look, I'm just sort of we're just sort of setting the scene for, you know, the world of antiques as it was. Okay, so I once bought from an estate possibly the world's ugliest bowl. It was like a cabbage, which sounds terrible, mm-hmm. and in the middle of the cabbage was a big red lobster in high relief.
Sure.
This bowl was on so many levels, but it was quirky.
Tired of ads interrupting your gripping investigations? Good news. Ad-free listening is available on Amazon Music for all the music plus top podcasts included with your Prime membership. Ads shouldn't be the scariest thing about true crime. Start listening by downloading the Amazon Music app for free, or go to amazon.com/truecrimeadfree. That's amazon.com/truecrimeadfree to catch up on the latest episodes without the ads.
There's never been a faster or easier way to start your weight loss journey than with PlushCare. PlushCare accepts most insurance plans and gives you online access to board-certified physicians who can prescribe FDA-approved weight loss medications like Wegovy and Zepbound for those who qualify. Take charge of your health and speak with a board-certified physician about a weight loss plan that's right for you. Get started today at PlushCare.com/weightloss. That's PlushCare.com/weightloss. PlushCare.com/weightloss.
Quality sleep is essential. That's why the Sleep Number Smart Bed is designed for your ever-evolving sleep needs. Need a bed that's firmer or softer on either side? helps you sleep at a comfortable temperature, Sleep Number smart beds let you individualize your comfort, so you sleep better together. J.D. Power ranks Sleep Number number one in customer satisfaction with mattresses purchased in-store. And now, save 40% on the Sleep Number limited edition smart bed for a limited time. For J.D. Power 2023 award information, visit jdpower.com/awards. Only at Sleep Number stores or sleepnumber.com.
So Christine and I, we put this bowl, this lobster bowl, like the lobster sitting on the big cabbage, in our antique shop. And after about 2 years, I thought to myself, this is never ever going to sell.
Yeah, that's a reasonable assumption if it's been there that long.
Yeah. So what happens with antique dealers is that, or used to happen, because there are very few antique shops left in Sydney now, but you had to sort of keep rotating your stock, because people that come into an antique centre or a shop quite regularly, the worst thing that can happen is that they walk through and they see your display exactly the same as it was 2 months ago.
Yeah, they'll nothing. Think, okay, they're not moving any
correct.
Product at all.
They're not moving any product. Is it not good? Is it damaged? Has it been restored? Is it too expensive? There are so many different things. So one of the things you can do is you can move things around to sort of create the illusion of kind of, you know, but that only works for so long. So I decided to take this particular relatively unusual but slightly grotesque bowl to auction, and it's sold in a boxed lot, so I had to have other things with it to sort of create some incentive for it to sell, and it sold for not a lot of money. Many years went by, and there was a very famous but slightly creepy antique center called The Ark, and it was near Sydney University, and on a weekday Christine and I used to, funnily enough, frequent lots and lots of antique shops and centres. And as you may recall, Paul, we used to take you kids up to the Blue Mountains. Do you recall we would stop at every antique shop on the way to the Blue Mountains?
All I remember is the Scenic Railway and the Hydro Majestic. I don't remember a single antique. Growing up, I remember a lot of antique shops. But okay, so you'd stop at all the shops on the way to the Blue Mountains.
Yes. And we used to, because we used to be looking for various, because you can still get bargains in other antique shops, or you used to be able to. So we go to this antique centre called The Ark. Now, this antique centre, on a really, really sunny day in Sydney, middle of summer, was still very dark. But we chose a dark, cloudy, rainy, stormy winter's day in Sydney. It was so dark inside the antique centre that it took a while for your eyes to climatise to the environment. And that's when you first walked in. This was a two-storey antique centre. It had probably 300 antique dealers working out of it, bearing in mind that some antique dealers had a small shop, but a lot of antique dealers had one or two glass cabinets. There would be one person at the entrance to the centre that was the manager. That's how all antique centres worked. And you would peruse items. Every cabinet would have like a number on it. And if you saw something you liked, you'd go back to the member of staff. You'd say, I'd like to have a look at something in shop 7, cabinet 4. They'd track down the keys. They'd walk with you, and you could sort of check out the particular object. We're walking through this antique centre, getting right towards the back, the bowels, and it was really dark. There was no one in the antique centre. It was creepy, absolutely creepy. It was kind of slightly sad. It was just this kind of weird feeling. It was so cluttered. It was not sort of beautiful, spaciously sort of items sort of with where you could walk around them. It was just all basically, there were literally, I'd say there were millions of items in this antique centre. So it was a very famous antique centre, very famous. We're at the very back of the antique centre on the ground floor, and then there were these rickety stairs that takes you to the next level. Now, very few people go to the next level. Like, your brain is so...
Sorry, up or down?
Up, yeah. Up, okay. Onto the first floor. Yep. And there is basically a repeat of the ground floor, but of course there's a void. So you have to sort of walk around. It's like being in a museum where, you know, you can look down into the sort of the middle of the ground floor.
Mm-hmm.
So all these little cabinets, and we're up and we're sort of walking around, not paying attention to anything in particular, bearing in mind that it's the weather's appalling, it's super dark, we're on the first floor, and we're at the very back of the building, where you almost needed a miner's lantern to be able to see where you were going. And then Christine and I, we kind of both stopped together. We looked down, and at the very back of this antique centre, sitting amongst a lot of other stuff, can you guess what we saw?
The bowl.
The bowl. The green cabbage bowl with a sad lobster. I'm hypothesizing that it was sad. Sitting amongst this lettuce. I mean, it's crazy. It's kitsch. We look at this bowl in disbelief. We knew that that was the bowl because it had a tiny little fleck of paint missing off one of the lobster's claws. And as God is my witness, Paul and listeners, as God is my witness, from nowhere, an elderly lady appears. She comes from behind us. She reaches past us and she grabs the bowl and she puts it under her arm and she scurries off down the stairs and she buys the bowl. Okay? Aside from this being 100% true, what are the possibilities statistically of that happening? They're so infinitesimal.
First of all, are you sure it's the same bowl?
We knew it was the same bowl.
Yeah.
That's not an issue.
How did you know it was the same bowl again?
Because it had a tiny fleck of like this orange paint missing off one of the... Look, it was quite a rare piece, but in the world of antiques, Paul, rare does not equate to value.
Okay.
So it was never a valuable piece, and it turns out after 2 years in our shop, it obviously had no appeal.
Yeah. Except you're in this kind of, you know, ruinous rabbit warren, right? On this second floor in this odd place, and as you walk up to it and go to look at it, an old woman appears out of nowhere, grabs the bowl and goes and buys it.
Correct. And this woman was in her 70s, I'd say.
You think she was a ghost?
Well, I never saw her face.
Okay.
I don't know whether I'd want to see her face. Imagine if she was wearing some sort of... I can't remember. She was sort of fairly dowdy or even dour, may I say. Mm-hmm. She kind of almost looked like a homeless woman. But can you imagine if she had have turned back and looked at me and guess what I would have seen? A lobster face. Imagine that. Now that part of the story is actually I'm just having fun there.
Yeah, you can't make the end of a story creepy.
Sorry,
like, imagine if she had horns.
No, Paul, but no, but hear me out.
Yeah,
that was an event that happened... And Christine obviously can corroborate this story.
Yeah.
So that's not an issue.
I will say this much. It's not scary. It's odd. You know what I mean? I wouldn't say this is a scary story. I would say it's an odd story filled with coincidences.
Mm.
But you have anything scary for us?
Well, Paul, now that you've kind of put a little pin in my little...
No.
Cushion.
No, please don't. No. There is something wonderfully off-center and creepy about the story, but do you have anything
No,
scary?
But you had to be there. Yeah. It was a creepy environment. The day was... Anyway. But, all right. Okay, maybe this is not creepy, Paul, but this is so weird, I think it's pretty bloody unbelievable. And I actually will go so far as to say I think it's slightly... Well, you and the listeners can make up your own minds. Do you... Now, I think it's fair to say that I might be considered as mildly eccentric, would you say?
Yes, I would say that.
Are you aware, Paul, I think I've mentioned it before, that I, in a crazy moment, I painted out the windows in our lounge room.
Oh, that's right.
Now, why a lot of listeners...
Why did you do that?
Ah, well, I'm coming to that. Now, I think at this juncture, the listeners will go, hang on, that is actually fairly weird. Mm-hmm. But then not only did I paint out all the windows, so the room was really dark.
Oh, yes, yes.
I then inserted shelving into where these big double doors were so I could display my... Because everyone remembers that I used to have a ginger... remember how I was into bottles and I had 3,000 bottles in the garage?
It sounds like at this point you completely butchered the architecture and the feng shui of our living room by blacking things out, putting shelves in so you could display your bottles.
Yes, I actually put shelving in where so you couldn't actually go out of the doors. These were two glass doors that went out onto a beautiful balcony with uninterrupted views because we were very high up over basically Sydney, you recall?
You need help.
So I blacked everything out. I did. In fairness, I used white paint. It still had the same effect. Zero light came through. Put in shelving, then displayed a magnificent collection of bottles. And I guess I did that for a security reason as well, so that people couldn't see the great collection of bottles. But in hindsight, I don't think there'd be too many thieves that would be interested in my bottles.
Okay, so where's the spook?
Ah, I'm just creating a sense of... When your kids used to come home sort of from school, you know, you kids would have sat at probably 200 different dining tables. You would have experienced thousands of items of furniture, vases, paintings, rugs. It was just... I'll never forget Christine was in hospital. She may have been giving birth to Mark... She came home from hospital and I had this wacky idea that I would create a Victorian bedroom. I had a four-poster bed. It was so stunning. I bought a whole collection from an estate. I bought cedar chest of drawers, but also included in this collection. And the bed was so high that poor Christine could not get into bed. It was so high up. So... You ready for this?
Yeah.
I, weirdly, had also bought a very, very large collection of creepy Victorian dolls. I bought about 200 dolls. And what I did, I covered the bed and basically all around the room with these dolls.
What?
Yes.
Why?
Because I thought it was just creating this atmosphere of Victorian...
Of what, horror? Like,
no, Paul.
Hang on. Sorry, why was she at the hospital again?
Giving birth to Mark.
Okay, so when someone's gone through the trauma of childbirth and thinking about children is the last thing they want, you don't put a fucking four-poster bed with hundreds of haunted porcelain dolls.
I know, but I put all the dolls all over the bed as well, and there were literally... And poor Christine, she's walked into this bedroom, nothing from her prior to leaving was there. I'd got rid of everything. I'd recreated this Victorian room, which, looking back on it, was pretty creepy. And she was so upset with the dolls, she was so pissed off in a kind of a nice way, but she was really upset that she basically demanded that I get rid of all the dolls. And some of the dolls were a very famous brand, and they're called the Googly-Eyed Doll, and they've got these bulging eyes. And I actually had... And one of the dolls, you could stick your hand up inside it and rotate it, and it actually had three faces.
Yeah, that doesn't sound like something I'd want if I just pushed a child out of my body.
She didn't push it out, Paul. It was a cesarean.
Still, recovering from the trauma of childbirth.
I know. And then there was the added problem that she actually couldn't get up into bed. She just couldn't
read. That's not the dumbest thing you've ever done. It's one of the weirdest.
I know it is odd, but here's the point. Point being that I used to create these themed rooms because might I add, Paul, that is the same house where we had that incredible coffin downstairs.
Oh, yeah.
Remember that?
Yeah, I forgot about that.
The Batesville.
Fuckery.
Which was a talking point. So, Paul.
Yes.
Finally getting to the point of the story about the haunting.
Okay.
We had this beautiful clock. This is just so amazing. Christine and I were in the kitchen, which was a long way down the hallway from... where this clock was. Mm-hmm. Now, the clock was hanging in the hallway near the entrance to our house. We were a good 15 metres down the hallway and to the right into our big kitchen, and Christine and I were sitting at a kitchen table and we're discussing the clock. Get ready for this.
Yeah.
This is a true story. We decided we were contemplating selling that particular clock. As we were talking about selling the clock, can you guess what happened?
It went off.
How would we know?
The bing bongs?
No, they're not called bing bongs, Paul. They're called ding dongs.
All right.
It was not a dinging clock. The clock fell off the wall.
Oh, that's weird.
And smashed itself like an act of almost, well, clockicide.
Broke its hands.
We both jumped up and I ran down to the end of the hallway and there was the clock shattered. Just lying there.
Yeah.
Now, I have a feeling, Paul, that that clock knew we were talking about it and it didn't want to go.
Oh, right.
Now, what do you think about that for a story?
It's pretty weird.
I think it's really weird.
That's pretty spooky, I guess. I mean, a clock gaining self-awareness just to kind of...
No, but don't you think that's just quite... I mean...
It's this whole thing's been really... This has been a very odd episode of Loose Ends, honestly. And you know what? I'm living for it.
But Paul, what about the time we had that huge dog when it used to defecate? We almost needed to get a small mechanical device in to lift its shit up. Remember that dog, the Great Pyrenees?
Yeah, I don't know how this is spooky.
No, it's not spooky, but it's just part of that. It brings back memories. And you recall the story about when I took it to get it for the first and last time. I took it to a place that sort of, you know, fluffed it up a bit.
What?
Like a dog groomer?
Yeah.
You remember this story?
No.
Are you serious?
Oh, and we left it in the... No, sorry, go on.
No, and I'm driving home, doing about 60, maybe 70 kilometres an hour.
Yeah, you've told this on the show
before. But isn't it amazing?
Yeah, yeah. Well, yes. Unfortunately, that's all the time we have for this week's Loose Ends. It's been a weird one, but... You know what? I'm going to put it down to lockdown frying our brains. Next week on Loose Units, we have a very, very big story for you. So make sure you do your homework, kids. Otherwise, make sure you head across to facebook.com/loose units. Leave us a message. Go to iTunes or Spotify and please give us a rating and review. Spread the word about the show. Make sure everyone listens to it and have a great weekend. But we'll see you next week for more Loose Units. Bye.
Cheerio. Bye.
Hey, it's Paige DeSorbo from Giggly Squad. High quality fashion without the price tag. Say hello to Quince. I'm snagging high-end essentials like cozy cashmere sweaters, sleek leather jackets, fine jewelry, and so much more. With Quince being 50 to 80% less than similar brands. And they partner with factories that prioritize safe, ethical, and responsible manufacturing. I love that. Luxury quality within reach. Go to quince.com/style to get free shipping and 365-day returns on your next order. quince.com/style.
A lot can happen in 3 years. Like a chatbot may be your new best friend. But what won't change? Needing health insurance. UnitedHealthcare tri-term medical plans, underwritten by Golden Rule Insurance Company, offer flexible, budget-friendly coverage that lasts nearly 3 years in some states. Learn more at uh1.com.
Hey, it's Paige DeSorbo from Giggly Squad. High quality fashion without the price tag. Say hello to Quince. I'm snagging high-end essentials like cozy cashmere sweaters, sleek leather jackets, fine jewelry, and so much more. With Quince being 50 to 80% less than similar brands. And they partner with factories that prioritize safe, ethical, and responsible manufacturing. I love that. Luxury quality within reach. Go to quince.com/style to get free shipping and 365-day returns on your next order. Quince.com/style.